Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 403. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm pretty sure you just make those numbers up every week.
I think I did introduce us as 403 last week as well, but it wasn't. It was 402. But we're just going to stay on 403 forever.
It's okay.
Perpetually 403. Jeff is here too.
Hello.
And Pete is delivering pizzas or something.
I think he's afraid of us, actually.
Yes.
Coward.
He's trying to wait out the God of War talk. He doesn't want to talk anymore God of War, so he's hoping...
Yeah, it's time to say that.
If he can wait out a little bit, he'll be done.
But little does he know we're going to postpone it till his return.
Right.
I don't feel like people have been like too crazy about it. It's not like Breath of the Wild last year where I was talking about it for fucking months.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot more play in Breath of the Wild, right? Like, you can...
Yeah, like I don't know.
You run out of stuff to do in God of War that doesn't really happen in Breath of the Wild. Is that true?
Sure.
Kind of, right? Like, I mean, you can run out of shrines to find, but there's always like shit in the open world, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you can 100% Zelda, but like, you know, I put hundreds of hours into it and did not, so.
Right, and like I think
odds are there's still stuff to find.
I did not finish everything in there, but in God of War, in fact, there's probably a ton of stuff left, but there's a finite amount of stuff, and it's only going to take you 30 to 40 hours. In fact, I think most people have kind of moved off of it already, in terms of like the talk on the internet about it. So
yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where he's coming from with that, but
we'll hold off till he comes back.
Yeah, torture.
Because Tony still needs to finish it.
Right. Then I think I'm getting there, though. I'm pretty sure I'm getting pretty close. Although I keep getting distracted by the side quests. I think if I could stop myself playing the side quests, it would go faster.
Here's, you know what? I have to confess. I went through that game. I don't know.
Jeff?
Jeff died. He went through that game and died.
Oh, no.
Rest in peace.
It's terrible. All right. Well, hopefully.
He went through that game and just kept talking and talking. And
we completely lost him. Hopefully. Wow. That was weird. He is still technically with us, but he is not with us. So I don't know if he can hear us or not. That's weird. Anyway, God of War, you know where I was at as of last week. What, were you a little bit ahead of me, or?
I think at the time I was a little bit ahead of you because I saw you complaining about the kid, and I knew exactly which scene you were talking about. Yes. But I had like literally played that scene like the night before.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not much farther after. Like, I mean, I mainlined it from there, but it was only. From like where I was at last week, where I was at before, you know, I started playing again, was like 4.5-5 hours. So
yeah, it kind of felt like the game was coming to or starting to wind down at that point. Like it would stop giving you like the quest is pretty obvious what you need to do, and it just kept giving you the runaround.
Yes,
so like at some point it just has to stop doing that, and it kind of felt like that was about to happen.
Yeah, so. Hopefully, you'll wrap that up at some point, and we can all sit down and talk about that, get that out of our system. So
spoil it to death.
Yes, Jeff officially died. He is no longer part of the call. So you finished
Thrones
of Britannia, the new Total War Saga game.
Yes, which I've never beaten a Total War game. That quickly, like I managed to get like in about I would say 25 hours I managed to get the short campaign victory conditions, the long ones, and then there's like an epic battle at the end, and I managed to beat that too. It was all pretty easy. Like the campaign felt super easy for a Total War campaign. And I was on Twitter at some point making fun of the way the AI builds its armies, because every battle felt like the same because they built everything really infantry based. And I kept like every battle I would walk in and have four units of cavalry, And in like the first, I would say 20, 25 seconds of the battle, I would wipe their cavalry out because there'd be so few units of it. And then at that point, you're just surrounding and destroying the enemy army every time because you could just go right around them and hit them from behind. And every battle kind of felt like that. Like the AI armies were all really unbalanced in field battles. The sieges felt great. Like the sieges are a lot of fun in that game. But for some reason, the AI intelligence in the siege battles is not so good. They also like so many infantrymen and not nearly enough like archers and skirmishers. So there was one battle where I had one army facing two enemy armies, which I managed to wipe out because there was a the battlefield was like a river with one bridge, and I was defending. And so they're coming across the river, and I'm just blocking the river and watching my archers rain arrows down into their troops who are all packed together trying to get across,
Right,
but like
they can't go
massacring them.
anywhere because they're trying to get at you.
My son is like poking his head around and watching me fight this battle. He's like, "You're gonna lose. There are so many of them." And I'm just watching the numbers tick down closer and closer together.
Ah, little do you know, son.
No, this battle's already over. So, the game, I mean, the game was fun. It was really easy. They're already rebalancing it. I think a rebalancing patch came out today. The other thing was I played as Wessex, and there's a lot of different factions in the game, and there's a couple of Viking factions. I really want to play as a Viking. So there's a lot of play left. I'm kind of glad that they're rebalancing it already to make it like actually challenging.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So, I don't know. As far as Total War games go, it's probably like the least necessary Total War game I've played in a long time. It doesn't feel like it adds a whole lot to the series. There are some like cool changes, but in terms of actual like gameplay and like stuff you've never seen before in terms of battle,
Right.
there's not really anything there. It's all stuff that you've done before.
No, this isn't a full $60 release, right?
No, it was 40, and I think I bought it for 30.
Okay.
So it was easy to find cheap pre-release. So I mean, I'll give them credit for that. And there are a lot of like historical elements in the game, so they do a lot to portray the time period. And for example, the pre-battle formations, you can always, every Total War game has this, where you can select all your troops, and then there are a bunch of like historical based formations you can put your troops in. In this case, they're all like Germanic and like Saxon formations, like shield wall, and
Okay, that's cool.
there's one that's like a wedge of infantry, which you only saw in like Saxon armies of the period and like Germanic armies. You didn't really see anywhere else, and so they kind of built that into the game so that you could play around with that and see what it feels like in a real battle. So that kind of stuff was cool to see.
And do those formations work well within the game, or like?
I think it would be nice to see the AI try to use that wedge formation with their heavy infantry-based armies because it's really good with infantry. And there were a couple times where I had unbalanced armies of my own, and I was able to use it really effectively because it basically makes your army into like waves of infantry.
Okay.
So you start off, you're like your most elite unit ends up in the point of the wedge, and then your army like stacks up behind it. So as you're hitting the enemy line, like that first unit hits, and then you can like keep spreading out and feeding your units into where they'd be most effective, like right in the middle of the battle line. It lets you kind of overwhelm the center of the enemy line with just like waves and waves of troops. And the fact that it puts the best troops at the point means that that point almost always goes right through the enemy line. So yeah, it's a big it could be really effective to do. That said, putting your troops all in that kind of formation also makes it easy to surround. So
Okay.
there's like a high risk, high reward type
All right, so it's like
scenario.
you have to know when to use that type of formation, and
Right.
that's cool that like at least that stuff's in there for you to play around with, and maybe
Yeah.
they add armies and expansions to
be able right. to more.
Play anything else?
Just God of War and that.
Well, Jeff is trying to reconnect. And if he gets back, he'll talk about BioShock 1 and 2. Because we're all up on the new games.
Yeah, BioShock.
I've rolled back even farther and have been playing NHL 94, but I've dived into a weird subset of the internet. NHL 94 has a thriving community of people that still play the game regularly, and there's actually a website, NHL94.com. And on that site, you can get updated ROMs of these old games of, you know, the Genesis games, the Super Nintendo games, where they have gone in and edited both visually and numerically the teams. So the 2018 version, the one I've been playing, has added in the Vegas Golden Knights, which is an expansion team this year,
right?
And updated all the rosters, which is really kind of cool. And like the fact that like you can play as like Nashville and some other teams that are, you know, within the last 10 years and certainly weren't available in NHL 94, and just to be able to play as Vegas, is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
It's really neat to be able to go back and play this game, that plays exactly like you remember playing it, but with players that are still playing, like that are currently playing now, as opposed to, you know, if I was to play as the Penguins in NHL 94, like it's like Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. But if you play this version, like Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, like the Vegas Golden Knights have Marc-Andre Fleury as their goalie. Like it's a weird thing that people do, but I'm kind of glad that there's a community of people out there like willing to continue keeping like this game alive. I haven't dived in to see if like they do it for Madden as well. I also don't know if there's like a 16-bit version of Madden. Like NHL 94 is generally considered like the high point of video game hockey.
Right.
Which is a little sad. but Madden keeps improving. So I don't know if there's like one that people like look back on as fondly as NHL 94 and are like, no, this is the one, like where they would update those games.
Like I remember some really good Maddens, but they didn't start until like way more recently.
Yeah, like I remember like liking the 16-bit versions, and then I think they took a dip in like the PlayStation 1 and even early PlayStation 2 ones. I don't think were great, like early Xbox and GameCube, but they did start getting better, like. Like what was it? I remember around 2002, 2003.
Right. Yeah, that was. I remember 2001 being the first one I really played obsessively.
And Jeff is back.
I'm back.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, Jeff, we were just talking about NHL 94, and that there's a community of people that are updating the game. To include modern rosters, and in fact, like even this year, they've added in a new team because NHL added Vegas in this year. It's just kind of cool that there's people out there doing that. And
how are you playing this? I'm assuming on the PC.
Yeah, I'm playing on an emulator. It's called K Fusion, you just load the ROM in. But before you got back on, we were kind of discussing whether there's like a classic Madden that people kind of look back on fondly, like they do NHL 94.
I'm no expert on this, but like it felt like Madden 2004 was like a big deal when it came out.
The Michael Vick Madden?
Yes.
So like
That's kind
the
of like a
PlayStation
peak.
2 era.
That was like the peak popularity for Madden, I think. I feel like I remember when I was working at GameStop, Madden was a big deal, but each year as it went on, it was less of a big deal. But like, back Madden 2004, that was like the Call of Duty of its age, kind of. Like
Right.
it was the big thing that like casual people were into, you know.
Sorry, it was the biggest game in gaming at that point.
But I'm no expert. Like I didn't get into football until I was in college, so like I missed the whole like 16-bit era of football, or any, so
I don't, and maybe like there's I'm
Tecmo
sure.
Bowl.
Yeah, like that seems to be the one that people look back fondly on. And I know that they do update
They do, right? Yeah.
Tecmo Super Bowl. There are still people that play that like regularly. I mean, I think they do update that game. So maybe that's what I need to look into. Get like a modern version of Tecmo Super Bowl and, be able to play as Tom Brady on the Patriots instead of. Who would that have been? That been in Drew Bledsoe at that? Maybe not even.
Drew
See,
Bledsoe
like,
was like 95 when he got drafted.
yeah. So that would have been like Tecmo Super Bowl was probably either late 80s or early 90s. So I don't even know who the quarterback would have been on New England at that point.
Oh God, I don't even remember.
I remember Bo Jackson was like unstoppable in Tecmo Super Bowl, though.
Yeah.
But that's that era. Like, that's the era of, like, Dan Marino would have been on the Dolphins, or Randall Cunningham on the Eagles. Yeah. Like, those old sports games are a ton of fun because they are not necessarily as sim-based as today's.
Yeah, well, especially like Tecmo Bowl, like that kind of strips
Yeah.
down football to like nothing.
It's like bare essentials, right? Like,
Get the ball forward.
yes.
Come on, you got your 15 plays you can call.
Yeah,
Yeah.
mostly to start a Hail Mary down the sideline.
Right.
All right, Jeff, tell us about BioShock the Collection.
Yeah, I picked it up because it was like $20 on Amazon, which was like definitely, I think, the right price. I remember when that collection came out for $60, I was considering buying it, but I was like, I don't know, I'll wait till it's cheaper. $20 for three or at least two really classic games and one other game, not a bad deal, right?
All right, so which
Why
ones are
are you
you like
knocking
best?
Infinite so much?
What was that, Chris?
So well, Tony kind of threw it out there, but which one are you knocking as not being a classic
I mean,
game?
two, obviously. I mean, I think one is inarguably a classic. Like, of that generation, it's probably a top 10 game for most people. I think that Infinite is just as kind of mind-blowing in a lot of ways. I know a lot of people kind of turned on that one a little bit, but I don't know. I played that one like a year or two ago, and I still like thought it was really fucking impressive.
Have they
So.
improved the shooting yet?
No, it's
Sorry, I still
still
hate it.
BioShock. Yeah, I think the gameplay in those games are good, but I could see like why people would say that like they're not like it's not. I've always liked them though. Like I find those games very playable. Like very. Like I burned through them real quick, and I could play them like long them for long stretches. So I don't know. I've always really, really loved that series. I went through one and two in like a matter of like 4 or 5 days or some shit. They're not super long. I mean, at least these first two. I can't quite remember with Infinite, but like. They're not really that long, especially if you don't like explore nook and crannies that much.
About 10, 12 hours or so.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sounds about right.
I remember Infinite being maybe around that as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know. I still really love those games. Like, I still think that the first BioShock Like, it does things with, like, environmental storytelling in that, that, and just, like, the art direction, like, the look of it, and just the amount of detail everywhere. It's almost like Disney World or something. Like, it's just, I don't think a lot of games even now match that level of care with the art and, like, just fully realized brand new world, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, BioShock 2 copies and paste that. It says, here's more. I remember, like, when BioShock 2 came out, being generally positive on it. I still am. Like, I don't think it's a bad game by any means. Like, I think the gameplay is, again, some people say the gameplay sucks at all of them, but I think the gameplay is just as good in 2. But, you know, it lacks any sort of freshness that, you know, like the first time you saw Rapture in the original BioShock, that was a huge deal. That was a huge part of what made that game amazing. And here's just like, it's Rapture again. But like now, you know, all these additions that are like meaningless. Like, guess what? Sometimes you get to go into the actual ocean. Okay. What does that amount to? It's basically, oh, I walked through the water to another part of Rapture. Great. Like, that's not really, you know, like a big deal. Like, I mean, one cool thing is like you can, and I forgot in the original BioShock, you can't do this. Like, you can hold your gun out and your power out at the same time and kind of use them simultaneously. In the original BioShock, you'd like switch between them. So there's like little things like that around the edges, you know, and but the story itself, well, you know, the setting is nothing new. The story, I think, is nowhere near as interesting as the original. One thing I really like, really bugged me is like they both have like a hacking mechanic. The hacking in the original BioShock is like its own awesome little mini game. It's like pipes where that's you're the pipe fucking game, yeah. You're rearranging like the squares to make a pipe that goes from one end to the other. I got really into that, especially in this playthrough of BioShock. Like, I spent like a lot of my experience and shit on like building up my hacking ability because I really dug that aspect of it. Like, I like hacking all the robots and shit and making them on your side so you don't have to work as much to kill shit. And they replaced that in 2 with, it's just a meter that goes back and forth, and you hit A when it passes through the green part of the meter.
So less interesting.
Way less interesting. Like, it went from like an awesome mini game. Like, honestly, I would probably pay like $5 for that little fucking pipes game, you know? To, yeah, just hit A at the right moment. So, I don't know. I got that, I think, is like a huge, like, I think maybe they thought, hey, that having to stop to do those pipes things all the time like broke up the gameplay. But I enjoyed doing them, so I don't know.
Yeah. Are you going to play Minerva's Den?
Maybe. I'm actually kind of anxious to, and you guys are going to think I'm fucking nuts, play Fallout 4.
Okay. I kind of think about playing that every once in a while.
Yeah, like my...
And it's free this weekend, right?
Is it really?
Yes, this is a free weekend.
Well, what happened for me is that, like, my one older coworker, he's probably about, like, 15 years older than me. He doesn't really, like, play games that much, but he's been playing that. And, like, him talking to me about it is making me, like, Like, I know I don't like that one as much, but it's, like, it's still Fallout. There's still, like, a Bethesda game. It's still fun to, like, stick around and kind of find things and kind of make your own story.
Well, that's what's, like, the most fun about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're hearing his enthusiasm for his adventures, and, like, that's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's, like, I want to... So I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to give it another shot. Like, everything that they added to that game I didn't like. And the story itself, like, the main story was not so great. It's okay, I thought. I think it was as bad as some people, but you know, I'm not gonna be really focused on that if I play this again. It's gonna be like really just looking for side quests and doing my own thing. So And there's nothing really big coming out for like a while. So yeah, I guess that's probably what I'm doing next, because I did play through Infinite fairly recently, so I don't think I'll be playing it again. Oh yeah, one weird thing about the BioShock collection is it comes on two discs, which is like, I don't know, it just seems weird in this day and age. I would have thought you could fit all three of those games onto one, even with doing some updates
That does seem very strange.
to them. Yeah, so it's like you get one and two on one disc, and then you get three on the third disc. And the even stranger thing is there's no sort of like main menu tying all three of the releases together in any sort of way. It's just you have to go to My Games and App, My Games and Apps, and just go to like BioShock 1 or BioShock 2, and then it just boots up that game.
Oh, wait, do you like install them separately?
Yeah, kind of. Like, they're kind of like their own separate files on your Xbox. Like there's no like
Collection
I want to
app.
play BioShock Collection. And then like there's like a main menu where you're like, okay, I want to play BioShock 1. No, not like that whatsoever. It's just you have to go in your games and apps and find the individual game. So weird.
That is strange. That's a strange.
Yeah,
Yep.
but
So
whatever.
I think, if I remember correctly, the Return to Arkham set,
Was like that.
yeah, it was also like that. Where it like downloaded as two different games, two separate games. I think I wonder if that's because I think Return to Arkham you can buy the game separately. I don't know if you can with BioShock. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't think you can with BioShock. Also, Chris, I'm really mad right now. I was looking at AMC's DeKalb, Georgia.
Oh. That's not your DeKalb.
Yeah, my DeKalb does not have the movie I want to see, so I'm like pretty damn upset right now. Anyways, but yeah, that's my spiel on BioShock 1 and 2.
I want to play them at some point. Replay them. But.
I like those games a lot. I know I'll play them again. You know, that's how much I like them.
So there is a some other stuff we can talk about this week. Big one is that Boss Key Productions, I believe that's how you pronounce, I think that's what it is. I think it's Boss Key Productions, which is Cliffy B's studio that he had founded not too long ago. They released Lawbreakers and recently released it's like a new battle royale game, Radical Heights.
Right.
But they announced this week that they were closing their doors. They are shutting down. They just couldn't keep it going, and yeah, that's it's kind of a shame to see the studio close down. But they really didn't have any success in the time that they were open, so.
Yeah.
I guess the bigger thing that came out of that, though, is that after he kind of revealed that they were closing down, he kind of explained, some of the problems with running a studio, an independent studio at that, that's trying to make AAA type games, where you would need funding from publishers, and he threw out some. Artwork from three kind of games that they had pitched to publishers. One was called Dragonflies.
It's the only one I heard about, and that sounded pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it's like a ninja samurai type game. Airships, you ride dragons, you fight zombies, and it's like a player versus environment. He termed it feudal punk. Where it was like set on like floating islands, and like the artwork that he put out there for that seemed really cool. Like a dragons with kind of like mech type stuff attached to them. So it was like futuristic samurai type stuff.
I just also love the idea of like a giant airship filled with dragons.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking amazing.
I guess they pitched that got shot down. Then he had another one called Rover, which was kind of like a mech game. Or dog walkers, I guess, is also another thing where dogs stand for destructive ordnance on the ground. I guess it was going to be a VR multiplayer tank combat game where you would have 5-man crews and you would play against, I guess, other 5-man crews. And the one that I found most interesting, though, was his game called Donuts. And he described it as the successor to Tubin, which I don't know if you guys remember. It was like a 80s game where you rode inner tubes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would like take on the role of like these animals, and it was kind of like Mario Kart, but in like tubes on a river.
I would totally fucking be down for that.
The artwork was great. Like it was like nice and whimsical and. But yeah, I guess they tried to pitch this stuff and did not get hits on any of it. So Boss Key is now no more.
The shame of that is like, I would have been way more interested in Dragonflies or, the Tubin game. What did you call it? Donuts?
Donuts. Yeah.
I would like, especially Donuts. That's like right up my alley. I'd be way more interested in either of those than Lawbreakers. So that sucks.
Yeah, it does. Like,
so but, if you're out there, see, this is the problem: is that they went out there to get a publisher.
And yeah.
If you do that, then you're going to be beholden to the ideas that they want, and you may have a good idea, but they're going to go for what they think is going to sell. And I mean, those games that you just listed off sound interesting, but they don't sound anything like the blockbuster titles that you see out there at all.
Right. You know? I guess like
despite the fact that if you have a little vision, I could see Donuts being a hit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but you have to work to see it as a hit. And if I'm
I know, yeah,
you want me to give you millions and millions of dollars to make one of these titles, and I'm not going to do it.
Some corporate executive is going to go, "What is the new thing?" You know, do that.
Right. Well, they don't even go, "What is the new thing? What is the hit thing? What is popular? What can I sell?
What's in right now? Battle Royale? Do that." Like. So yeah,
and it seems like he pitched Dragonflies, which is the dragon ninja samurai game. He pitched that to Activision, 2K, EA, Microsoft, Sony, and WB. And I guess they were looking for like a budget of around $40 million for that, and they all got shut down. So,
did he say what you would have needed for Donuts?
This article does not have that up.
I was just wondering as a point of comparison, like how much a Mario Kart costs essentially. You
know? Right. Yeah. I kind of wish that he would have given more information on that as well, but.
Cause like, just like you, as soon as you start talking about it, I'm like, yeah, dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. You give me something like different, right? Like, I mean, and I guess, the only one that maybe has been successful in recent memory was that Sonic game, right? Like the Sonic racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think it's been a while since like what Jack X, which was on the PlayStation 2, or even Crash Team Racing, which was on the,
Since there's been like any sort of real challenger.
Yeah. There hasn't been any, like, cause, I mean, Sony tried, right. They, and so did Microsoft, I think. But Sony tried with what was it? The hell was that racer game?
Oh yeah, fuck, Mod Nation.
Yes, they tried with that, but that didn't seem to click. And then
they did one that was just like I think Little Big Planet Racing, like it's the same thing.
Yeah, which was basically the same exact game. I think they overestimated the Little Big Planet license.
Yeah, a little bit. Those weren't terrible either.
Yeah, they were okay.
But honestly, I consider Sega a real challenger in that genre. Like those Sonic racing games
were good.
Yeah, they're not really as good as Mario Kart, but like they're at least doing something fucking new in that genre, which like Mario Kart is very reluctant to do. Like,
well, at the time, like I think Transformed came out before 8 did. Mario Kart 8.
It was like the only current gen.
Yeah, so one, like they had like, you know, there was Mario Kart Wii, and then there was Mario Kart 7, which was on the 3DS, and I think they're both disappointing kart games.
Yeah.
And then Sonic Racing Transformed was fucking excellent. Like,
yeah, and it had you know, transforming into fucking planes and all sorts of shit. Like,
it was the best kart racer for a little bit until 8 came out and blew it away, but
this is all reminding me of another news item we gotta touch on at some point.
Okay.
But back to Cliffy B, like I always feel like his studio was doomed. Like in the shooter genre, like you can't be like, it's like there's a very small top tier and everyone else's fail. And like the notion that he could develop a shooter that would break into that, like it was a long shot from the very beginning.
Like I like the idea that, you know, when he came out and he was like, I'm gonna make like an Unreal Tournament type game, but it ultimately turned into, and I didn't play Lawbreakers, but everything I saw of it seemed like it turned into a regular ass hero shooter like Overwatch, and it came out around the same time as Overwatch, and Overwatch smashed everything. Like it killed Battleborn, it killed the Epic one. Epic had one too. Paragon, was that what that one was called?
I mean, Overwatch was the biggest game period for the year it came out. Yeah. Nothing came close.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, like you were kind of fucked. Like,
yeah, what happened? Is that like still as popular?
Overwatch?
Yeah,
still it's pretty popular.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, there's a pro league, and I don't think it's as popular, right? Like, I mean, that's more Fortnite and PUBG at this point, but
right.
But again, kind of going back to what the point Tony was making. PUBG came out of nowhere and fucking was like, I don't give a fuck about Call of Duty. Here's this janky ass fucking game for $20, and everyone loved it because they had a new idea, you know?
Right, and I think that was Cliffy's other problem, was that his idea wasn't really new. Like it was,
yeah,
it's just like it's a game you played already with the Cliffy B brand, and how valuable is that? I don't.
I think
he's talented.
Yeah, I agree. I do think he's talented. I think he is more, he's kind of like, to me, he's a guy that needs to be backed by a big studio, though, to give him the ability to have a full team and kind of rein him in a little bit. You know, with Epic, like they put him on Gears and he was able to kind of lead Gears in the right direction. And then he left, and Gears Judgment was not that.
Right.
But I'd like to see him kind of like, you know, maybe return, maybe not to Epic. I think he left there maybe on bad terms from what I hear.
Also, you just don't go back, you know. You gotta keep moving forward, you know.
Right.
It's just sad. I'm coming back with my tail between my legs.
Right. But I wouldn't mind him maybe moving over to work with Microsoft on something or Sony on
guess
something.
What? Maybe Nintendo should be smart and scoop them. I think Nintendo would be smart to be like, here's a studio, buddy. Or like, I don't know. Now, yeah. Something like that.
Well, like, and like,
clearly terribly talented guy. Like, someone could do something with him.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I don't know if you guys kind of agree with this, but I see a lot of these, like, very talented guys leave and make their own studios that ultimately fail.
Right.
And it's, I wonder if it's like, you're very talented at what you do and you're great at creating ideas and maybe managing the creative side. But when you're thrown into the financial side of it as well,
right.
You guys don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, you're running a business on top of trying to make a game.
Yeah.
Like it's too, I can only imagine, like, that's got to be too much to do all at once, even if you're capable at either job. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like that would be a lot.
Plus, it's a different skill set, and maybe you just don't have it.
Yeah, I'm just saying though, like, let's say there's this magic person that is really amazing at both. I still think that'd be insanely overwhelming when you hear about like the work schedules for like developing a game and just the amount of pressure that they're under at all times. To have to be that and also have to be the decision maker and the money guy, like, I don't know, dude. I don't think you'd fucking sleep.
Right.
So.
Well, good luck to Cliffy and what he does next, and the rest of his team. I hope they find jobs quickly, and because they were obviously talented, like
Right.
they had some talent there. So, Microsoft revealed a new thing today, I guess. I'm finding it very weird. Also, I don't know about you guys, but that there's a lot of reveals coming out, and we're like 3 weeks away from E3.
It's all been revealed. By the way, the shit last week where we were like, I don't know if that, there's no way that could be real because Rage 2.
Rage 2 is really hard,
So,
correct?
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Feel like we know everything already.
Yeah, which is a shame. But Microsoft revealed that they at their releasing or have released a new controller designed for people with disabilities called the Xbox Adaptive Controller. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It looks like a giant NES pad with a D-pad and two
It's like
giant
a
buttons.
fucking turntable.
Yeah, like turntable type
Yeah.
thing. There are a bunch of plugins on the top portion of it that allow you though to add extra buttons or extra things that might be needed for you to play with this controller. If it allows you to set it up however you need for your disability. There's a really cool I think it's like a 3-minute video that they released that kind of shows how people are using it and how they can use it.
I did not look at that, so
It's really cool, like because some people just can't use.
well, I'm just imagining people might ha not be able to like they ha might have like limited mobility in their hand or something, you know, so they might not be as dexterous. How do you say that? You know, your dexterity might not be as good, or I wonder if some of the attachments are like you could blow into them in case you can't use your hands. Like, I don't know if that's an attachment. You said there's all these like
I
things
mean,
that you could get.
there's a ton. Like, so each I'm looking at a picture of the back right now, and each of the buttons has an ability to be to plug in a device to be the input for that. So I assume that you would be able to plug in something into the A button or the B button and allow it
That's
to
your
be.
input, yeah.
Yeah, so like if it's something that you blow into, like then that would be how you would handle that, I guess. And every aspect of it too, though, like the right thumbstick, the left thumbstick, the shoulder buttons, even like the Xbox, like the center button, and the D-pad. Like even though there is a D-pad, like if you can't physically use a D-pad, maybe there is something that you can use, and this allows you to do that.
I think it's super cool. I think the fucking controller looks slick. Like, it looks kind of cool. I have any of you guys seen like how the like disabled community is like responding to it at all?
But I mean, I've only seen like some people from like Able Gamers and talk, but it sounds like people are very excited about it. So,
I mean, I can only imagine that like. That'd be amazing. Like, if I was n unable to play games and now I could, like,
yeah.
right.
So there's a picture on the Polygon story of a guy who was born with he has no fingers on his left hand. It was like just a birth defect that way, and he's using the pedal with his right foot and like a button with his left to that he's programmed to be able to do different things as he's been playing like with the game. So, I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah. And it's really cool of like Microsoft to think of that. I'm sure, I would imagine like Sony and Nintendo, this is something that they've thought about too, or like at some point it's had to have crossed their mind, like what's the solution to this? But it's cool that Microsoft poured money into like solving it.
Video, like put money into that kind of
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally it's like some charity puts it together, or like some small development group. It's never like Microsoft, Sony.
And that was one of the quotes I saw, and I unfortunately don't know exactly who to attribute it to, but he works for Microsoft, and he said, you know, a part of the thing here was that, you know, under their new CEO is, you know, you're always trying to advance your business, but how do you propose something like this? Like, what's the business use for it, right? Like, what does Microsoft get out of it? And to them, it wasn't like profit on the hardware, but it is being able to bring people over to the Xbox brand by saying, hey, we have, you know, this very open item for you to use, like that you we're trying to make it so that it's easier for you guys. Seems pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think any of us need it, but
hopefully never.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm glad it's out there and that people can like experience.
Yeah.
It. You know, I just wish maybe they would work on their first party stuff too.
Yeah. Get some games to play on that controller
right
there.
And Jeff, I know you said you had another piece of news, but I figure we should probably touch on this. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was officially revealed today. Ooh. And it officially does not have a single player. It is a multiplayer only, and there will be a Battle Royale mode. They did not show that, but they did.
Because they're probably still working on it.
Yeah,
so putting it together. I think they said it's called Blackout. Not that that's important, but
there. So let's see. One key difference between Blackout and other battle royale type style games is the number and types of vehicles present on the map. Players will be able to use vehicles on land, sea, and in the air. So
cool.
Vehicles in a Call of Duty game.
Yeah,
possible.
That's kind of crazy too, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking that too when you were saying that. I was like, wait, you mean like Halo? Like I can hop in this shit and fucking drive around?
Right. I mean, like you expect vehicles in Battlefield, but the Call of Duty is very much small maps and
it's cool. I don't know if it's enough because I finally did try out Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, those games are cool, but like I just don't lack the ability to be competent at online shooters. Like I get too flustered. I just can't.
We've played with you. We've seen
it. I know. Like so, like but like sometimes, like let's say in something like Halo, I can overcome that because sometimes I'll have a good round or whatever. Like every once in a while, there'll be a glimpse of hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you like you're playing with these battle games, it's just like 10 minutes of stress, and then I run into somebody and I die, and it's right. Like, and I never get a chance to go on a good run or get better at it because the encounters are so few and far between, and you just die, like, or at least I do. Like this guy was shooting me from a hill. I'm like, how the fuck? All I'm seeing is a little of the flash from his gun, but somehow he sees me perfectly. He's killing me. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, this sucks. Although I will say this, not to like go on a tangent here. I think Fortnite is like a much better game than PUBG. But
well, it plays like it's actually finished.
Yeah. Like it feels like an actual big budget game, kind of. Not big budget, but mid budget.
Like it that it has a budget, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's an art style to it. Like PUBG is very generic in its art style and. There's a lot of personality.
And Fortnite controls a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
But
Where
were we going? What were we talking about?
I don't know. I did want to, like, since you brought up Fortnite, I also think that, like, unlike PUBG, like, Fortnite is continuing to kind of, like, modify its game. Like, the map is changing. Like, they do things in seasons in Fortnite.
Yeah.
And at the end of season 3, they dropped a huge asteroid in the middle of the thing, and it, like, created craters and divots all over, and now there's these, like, little shards of asteroid that you can, like, pick up and consume, and it gives you, like, a brief superpower, like, where you can jump higher and run a little bit faster for a brief period of time. And, like, they're modifying, like, aspects of it. So there's this in the top right corner is something called, I think it's top right, it's called Moisty Mire, and they are getting rid of, like, it looks like they're building a theme park there, and, like, every week, like, new stuff kind of, like, filters in, like, it looks like it's under construction. So it's like the map is changing each week, like, week to week, and it's kind of cool that, like, there's that, like, cool, a story going on within the world, whereas PUBG, it's like a static environment. But they're both two similar but different games. So.
I mean, they're very similar, like, yeah. But, and, you know, props goes to PUBG for coming up with, I guess it was a brand new idea. I don't know how no one thought of it before. But I think Fortnite's better game. I don't know.
They were the first ones to kind of, like, hit it big because, was it DayZ or, like, one of them had also done
something like that,
like a battle royale type mode, but yeah, PUBG was the first one to really hit big. Yeah, but for Call of Duty, where do you guys stand on it? Do you think you guys will try it out? Like,
I look forward to being stressed for 10 minutes and dying immediately after.
Yeah,
with super smooth and slick and fast controls of Call of Duty. I never bought the World War II one, which I was, like, praising them for doing.
Right. So I bought it. Maybe. I still haven't played it. So
you never played it? Because it's funny. I was gonna ask you the other day, Tony. Like, hey man, how was that World War II Call of Duty? Like,
never touched it.
I played it specifically for the single player. And I like.
Okay.
It's a decent one of those. I think Battlefield 1 is a better game.
Okay.
But it's a decent Call of Duty World War II game. I don't know if I'm gonna plop down for this though. Like, I do like the Call of Duty campaigns, and I'm not a huge fan of the multiplayer. So,
oh yeah, I'm already forgetting about that aspect of it. And I know a lot of people are like, "Well, no one plays the campaign. No one really cares. People just like the bitch." It's like, no, there are people. Like, I had a friend all through the early 2000s. He brought those games to play the campaign. He didn't even have Xbox Live. He thought they were good games. And so,
I mean, I don't know. Fun roller coaster rides. Like,
yeah, like, that's what they are. And even the, like, shittier ones, like, let's say I buy a Call of Duty, I'm playing through the motherfucking campaign.
Right.
So, yeah, what are the odds of me actually buying a new Call of Duty this year when it has no campaign? They're pretty fucking slim, honestly. Maybe a rental just to check out the that mode.
Yeah, I might do that as well. I don't think I'll be buying it though, and I'll be interested to see what because Battlefield 5 actually reveals tomorrow.
Yeah, now that I'm actually excited for.
So we'll see what they do there. So I believe I'm hearing 1945.
Ooh,
so
cool.
Jeff, what was the news item you kind of wanted to touch on?
It has come out as a rumor that Retro Studios, the makers of Metroid Prime and more recently Donkey Kong Country games, they are working on a Star Fox Racer.
Okay.
Ugh.
Thoughts, feelings, feedback?
My initial thought is, ugh.
Okay. That was probably my initial thought. My initial thought my initial thought was like, what the fuck? What? Why? Like, what are you doing? Like, they should be working on something much more important, right?
Like anything else?
Like, why not Metroid Prime 4? Why is it that being outsourced or whatever?
I mean, I need more, you know, Slippy and Falco in my life, but.
But after my initial thought, like, I thought about it for, like, a minute after that. I was like, you know what? I'm down. Like, I like Star Fox, and I like the idea of combining that, like, turning that gameplay into a race. I think that could actually be fun. So.
Oh, wait, it's like a flying racer?
I'm assuming, yeah, if you're going to do. What I'm assuming they're going to do. Is it's basically going to play like Star Fox, but the better you are going through the level, the faster you'll be. And turn that into a race, essentially. Like, say, hey, you're flying through the rings, then you're going to go faster or whatever. Like, you know, maybe throw some Mario Kart, like, items. And, you know, you could use the weapons against each other and shit on it in it. At least that's, you know, I saw, like, Javi talking about it where he, like, posted a picture of Star Fox and then a picture of Diddy Kong Racing where, like, that game had flying levels, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I like racing games. I like Star Fox games.
It could be interesting.
It could be bad. It could also be good.
It'll probably be bad.
Here's the thing is, like, Retro Studios has not made a bad game, so I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see this thing, dude.
Yeah, I could. I'm definitely willing to give it a look, right? Like, I something different.
And you know, their track record of doing these Nintendo franchises, like Metroid Prime, is I think one of Nintendo's best games they've ever made. Like the first Metroid Prime, and I think. That they've done pretty good with the Donkey Kong Country series, like not fucking that up at the very least. So, I don't know, man. Like, now this is actually them kind of doing something new. So they kind of did something new with Metroid too. Like, no one had ever done that Metroid in 3D properly, so or at all, really. So,
I think your idea of it being like an actual Star Fox game. But where you're playing the level and like competing with other people, I think sounds really cool.
Like my idea is like, hey, it's basically Star Fox, but we're gonna add this hook to it that makes it feel fresh again. Like, hey, you're racing through the level,
right? Right. And it's like, I'm just wondering if they're gonna do like a pretty standard kart racer, but like maybe
somewhere
like,
in the middle of that,
like Star Fox, but more Sonic Racing transformed.
Yeah, I think it'll land like possibly somewhere in the middle of that, right? Like it won't totally feel like you're playing Star Fox, but it also I don't think it'll feel like just a flat out kart racer either. I think it'll stay true to like things that are in Star Fox, but being good at the level now means something because you're trying to beat your friends.
Okay,
like I don't know, like.
Yeah,
that sounds cool to me. Like, and the thing about it is, like, otherwise, like doing just another Star Fox game, they haven't been able to figure that out since N64. They just have not been able to figure it out. Like, it's just something stale about it. So maybe this fixes it. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Hey, they haven't made a lot of mistakes on the Switch yet, so. Give it a go. See what happens.
I'm like legit kind of excited. Like, I can't wait to. Like, if it's real, we don't know for sure yet. But I believe Kotaku is reporting. Like, they're pretty solid, you know? So.
Yeah.
I expect it's real. I expect we're going to see it in a couple weeks. And I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to see, like, how. What all of our reactions are. Like are after seeing it.
Yeah, for sure. Some minor correction on Battlefield. The reveal will be May 23rd.
Oh no.
So sometime early next week. And I guess Jeff will get that reveal at E3
Of the
for
what?
Star Fox.
I'm assuming.
And real quick, Mario Tennis Aces will get a
Yes.
free demo on Switch next week. So,
Oh, really?
yeah, there's a multiplayer tournament scheduled from June 1st to 3rd. It's getting a free Nintendo Switch is getting a free demo beginning next week, and the 3-day multiplayer tournament at the beginning of June. So, there's a free demo starting Thursday, May 24th.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I knew about the online test or whatever, like I did not know that they're just putting out a straight demo for it too. That's freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah, so get a chance to give that a shot, and I guess you'll be able to play as Mario, Peach, Yoshi, or Bowser.
That's so
So
cool.
you won't be able to play as the Chain Chomp, but
Hopefully I won't. Hopefully that doesn't like make me sick of it by the time the actual game comes out,
you blow
because
through it
it's
and play too
tennis.
much.
Yeah. I don't know. The actual game though supposedly has like a full single player like campaign to it and shit. So like,
Yeah, which I think is the first one since Power Tour on the GBA. So,
yeah, buddy.
all right, that's it for us for this week. I don't know. Do we got anything?
That hot Fallout 4 talk.
That's right.
Fallout 4. I believe State of Decay 2 comes out early next week. So yeah, May 22nd. So I'll probably play a little bit of that before we talk.
Man, what I've heard of that thing, I'm just like, nah.
Yeah, it seems maybe less than the first, which is good because I'm not paying for it because I already paid for Game Pass. So.
Well, it's just like I couldn't get into the first one, and to hear that's just like basically that again, I'm like, I already wasted $30 going down this path. It's just,
No more decay for you.
Yeah, I mean, I tried with it. I tried. I played it probably 4 or 5 hours, but it was just like it was not clicking. It just never clicked.
If something doesn't click with you, there's
Yeah.
no reason to keep banging your head against it.
Like I got it, I saw what it was doing, kind of like, but I was just like, yeah, managing these people, this sucks. Like I did not, it wasn't like fun to me like how it is in The Sims. Like it was just like no,
Because they're all depressed. Like,
yeah, it's a
they're
total
all,
downer.
and like, if you depress them more, they kill themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I mean, we shouldn't be like, laughing about suicide, but that's really like what that game was. Like, you had to keep their spirits up or else they would go kill themselves. And
Yeah.
I mean, you understand why you're in this desolate world where you probably will die at any moment, but anyway, I will probably try that out. And I think that's about it. I don't know if there's much else new coming out, so
Tony, play Fallout.
play Fallout.
Do it.
I don't know what game I'm playing after God of War, but it's probably not going to be Fallout. There's a pretty good chance it'll be MLB The Show. There's also
Oh, we
some
can
chance
share
it'll be a new
stories.
Far Cry game.
Oh, you know what? I would play that if it ever went on sale enough. Like, it never, like, so far, the cheapest I've seen it is like the Amazon price you would pay, like $48. So I'm like, fuck that, dude. I could have got that for that price at day one. I want
Yeah.
it cheap.
And it'll be cheaper. Keep it a little bit.
Fuck.
I'm gonna
I'm
play
not.
it, and I'm gonna tell you how great it is, and you're gonna be jealous, and then you're gonna buy it. It's
I
just gonna happen.
know exactly what it is and what it's going to be, and I think
And
I'm
then
about.
I'm gonna
I'm
talk
talking.
about it, and then it's gonna be real, and then you're gonna have to have it.
I
That's what's
think
gonna happen.
that's like a $25 or less for me
I
when
agree,
it
but
does
until
that.
but when I start talking about you, that number's gonna go up.
I doubt it. Everything I've heard is like they do nothing with it, so it's just like.
You're gonna hear different from me.
Okay, I'm sure I will. I'm sure you'll have like my first week syndrome too, where you're like, oh, it's really cool.
Yeah, because I really suffer from that.
Sometimes. Sometimes. I think we all do sometimes. And then, you know, it's the LA Noir syndrome.
Sure. Right.
We're gonna be talking about that. We, you know
we're
what
still
though?
Talking about,
you
we're talking about it right
keep
now.
Bringing it up, Jeff.
Yeah.
You make
but
us talk
to
about
make
it
the
on
point. Only to make the point that that was like a perfect example of a game that we turned on, or most of us, some of us did buy
I still
our,
like it.
Yeah.
It was fine. I didn't hate it. I don't despise it.
Yeah, it's just not the best.
I hate it a little more because you liked it so much, Jeff. And
well, you know, I did get it on the Switch, and I've played a total of about an hour of it. So,
sorry, I tell you, I did the same with Skyrim. So,
and just for me though, honestly, like I asked for it for Christmas present, and I kind of knew I was going to play it, but I just wanted to have like a really weird, oddball Rockstar game on my Switch. Like
that is one.
Yeah, just to say like because I know years from now, it's like nobody's going to have that fucking thing in their library. Like
you can pull that out.
And yeah, like look at this thing exists. Like this happened, you know,
and it was weird. All right, well, we will be back next week with Fallout 4, MLB The Show, maybe. Maybe we'll finally get to that God of War talk, because Tony will have wrapped
I'm
gonna
us try
up.
To-
I've already forgot everything about that game. So.
Well, that
won't have much to say.
It's all right. Pete doesn't really want to talk about it anyway.
It'll be a short conversation.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.